Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Rivalry Radio on a Saturday. Cannot wait to kick off this show. Again, I'm excited, very excited to get back rolling. It's been a while. It's been a while since Tyler and I have been on. Obviously, life gets hectic. Life gets busy. You guys all know about that. It's one of those deals where we're trying to do all these sports shows. We're trying to do all these things. And then when you have a 2.5-year-old like I do, your whole life is flips upside down. I've been really excited to do this show. I'm looking forward to doing this show. And I know Tyler is as well. We're going to really back on the show, I want to make sure that that's exactly what happens. Let me give you guys a little insight here about Rivalry Radio. I want to get you guys in depth in my life right now. So that little pause, I apologize. Number one, when you have a 2.5-year-old, this is what happens. You get called all the time. You know, hey, what are you doing? You need to pick up Jordan. He's here. He's there. Oh, my gosh. Can I just do Rivalry Radio? Can I get back on with the show? Anyway, it's been fun. We haven't done one in a long time. I know we did some stuff in the spring with the college basketball, and we were talking Michigan State hoops. It was a lot of fun. You know, and the Michigan State run was a lot of fun, to be honest. This is coming from a Michigan fan. I truly thought that it was inspiring to see. I thought that that team really did it the right way, and they were just so close. You know, they got to the Final Four there, and we need to see those things, and the state needs it. They need this rivalry. I've been starting to talk about that more. Without this rivalry, without the intensity to it, and without people excited about it, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing in this state to get us excited about. What are we going to get excited about? The Detroit Tigers? Man, are the Lions finally going to be something worth talking about fully? I mean, come on. All we have really is Michigan and Michigan State. Those are the two powerhouse organizations sport-wise in this state. And there's no reason that we shouldn't be excited about both, because both have been outstanding, and I'm looking forward to talking more about it. So let's get into football season. Obviously, we're a few months away. There's so much to cover. Really, we don't have to get carried away with it today, but I want to talk about a couple topics to prep the season. Number one, I was just posting live on my Facebook page about this. The Michigan fan base needs to understand something. It wasn't the offense that was the reason they lost last year and didn't take that next step. Number one, the offense was outstanding last year. It was great. They played well. They scored a lot of points. The offensive line was better. Quarterback play was better. They ran the ball very effectively. The problem we have is we don't look at the full body of work enough in sports. We see what happens now at the end of the year. We think, oh, the whole season was a wash. And that's just not how it works. It's not how we should judge a coach. It's not how we should judge players. There's times in college football, because every game matters, if you lay an egg the way Michigan did against Ohio State, you know, you're a failure, I guess. And they weren't. They were not a failed football team. They played really well. The last game of the year, they got caught in a situation where Ohio State was very prepared for what Michigan did on defense, and they knew there was a couple deficiencies there, and they seen also what Indiana had done, and they also probably already had a plan similar, and Indiana was very successful with crossing routes. They got open a lot. Michigan has that man-tight coverage. Ohio State took full advantage of it with prime-time athletes, mind you. I mean, if Indiana's going to be kind of successful against that tight coverage, just imagine what Ohio State's going to be. So Michigan was not prepared for that last game. They just truly weren't. Ohio State, seen the things that Michigan did on offense, and I think they've seen a couple things where they thought they could take advantage of it, even though their defense struggled. And I think Ohio State just totally had a better game plan. I think as much as Urban Meyer drives me nuts, he's a great college football coach. And I think he's had Michigan's number. He knows how to attack him. He knows how to beat him. He was 7-0 against them. So truly to look back on the season and say, oh, we need a different offense, we need a spread, that's not the case. They needed to have a better plan for Ohio State, and they just did not execute one. They didn't prepare for one, and they didn't have one at all. And that's where we are. You know, the offense was fine. The offense did good things. I think these so-called experts don't know truly what the problem was. That's all the problem was, guys. Ohio State kicked their back end, and they had a game plan that Michigan couldn't prepare for. They just couldn't. And every little advantage Ohio State had, they used against Michigan. And that's just what you have to do. In a big game, you have to be prepared. Look, that I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that Michigan's not wrong for that. The coaching staff is completely wrong for that. You have to be prepared. You have to have a better game plan. You have to put in little wrinkles throughout the season that will get you prepared for any football team. And Michigan did fail in that regard. But to say that, you know, we finally needed a new offense, that's not the case. And I'm going to be honest with you. Michigan fans are very difficult to deal with because I think what Josh Gattis is doing is outstanding. I love it. But here's the problem. The problem is this. It isn't going to work just right away, or it's not going to be perfect all the time either. And you have to understand that. So this is what needs to happen with Michigan football for them to take that next step. You have to be prepared for any style of play on both sides of the ball. I think when you do run a spread type look and the way the world works now with these high school football players where there's not so much more spread and there's, you know, speed and space like they keep saying, I think they're going to be successful. I think that you're putting players in a position where, you know, you're giving them a lot of opportunity to do big things on offense. But you worry about turnovers. You worry about it's too fast. Sometimes when it's too fast, there's a lot of mistakes that happen. So you wonder if that could be the case for Michigan football. But on defense, you have to be prepared to cover that. And I think that's one thing that we don't talk about enough, that I think Michigan's defense will be more ready for Ohio State because what they're running now. And I think that is the secret of football. You know, when you look in the past, even when, you know, when Bo Schembechler was at Michigan, he knew Ohio State's offense to a T. Why? Because they ran a lot of the same stuff. And I think that allowed them to be prepared for Ohio State. But the difference is nowadays there's so much more parity. I mean, you know, you're going to Wisconsin, who's really good. You're going to play Penn State, who's solid all the time. Michigan State's solid as a rock. You know, there's so many other teams you got to play. You got to be prepared for multiple styles now. I mean, you go up against Michigan State, a more physical football team. You have to be ready to get punched in the mouth. So I'm really interested to see how this works. Are we going to be that much better because of running a spread look now? Are we going to be able to cover better in space? Are we going to be faster now as a unit? I would hope so. I would think so. But we'll find out. We got time to find that out. We got a few months to figure out what was this the right decision. I want to say that. I want to say, you know, is it truly the right decision to go spread? I mean, does it make it that much better? Because in the end, their offense was good last year. It was really good. You know, they moved the ball. They were powerful. I think with Al Higdon, it does make it a little harder to run out of certain sets they ran out of. But they had a great offense, a great offense. The defense was great last year too. So, like I said, I really am curious to see if this huge move to this new offense is going to make fully the difference. I don't know if it does. I think you have to prepare better for certain games. I think you have to coach better. You know, I don't think it's the schematics. I think it's the game plan. It's the adjustments. And I think they fell short a little bit on that, especially in the rivalry game against Ohio State. They've not made proper adjustments. They have not been properly prepared. It's the one game that they just have not been able to put together a game plan that's just too good, and it actually helps them win. And I question that. I question why is that? You know, why is it that we can't have a game plan that gets us to that point where we can beat Ohio State? We should know what to do at this point. We should know how to attack them. We do have the athletes. You have the speed. You have the physicality. You recruited better now this year. The next few years, we should see a change of the guard and in that rivalry game because of how well they've recruited and the type of player they have and the type of skill position players they have. Michigan should be able to beat that team. So it does come down to coaching. And now Urban Meyer being gone and Jim Harbaugh, I'll be honest, this is your time to take over this conference. This is 100% your time. The guy that had owned the conference is gone. You just should be your turn. And if it's not now, I got a lot of question marks. Then I do have to say this might not have worked the way I thought it was going to. And, you know, I just, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen because we're so far away. But I do know this. They got to have a better plan for Ohio State, period. You have to. You just have to. You cannot have this stuff where you're in this game year in, year out, and you have no idea how to have a good game plan or make the proper adjustments for that team. That can't happen. You have all these weeks to put in some time, a little bit of time into each week on watching what they're doing. A little bit of time shouldn't stop us. You know, we've got all those weeks to prepare for Ohio State. We act like it's a game that just fell from the sky, and we don't know, like, we've never seen these guys before, and oh, it was this Ohio State team, we never played them before, we don't know their what they do, we're so confused. I mean, that's what Michigan looks like in this game. The 1 year with the spot, okay, I'll give it to the coaching staff. The 1 year with the bad spot with Barrett, I get it. A little bit of that was a tough one to swallow because I thought Michigan deserved to win. Tough one to swallow. They're winning the whole game, did all things right. They stopped the guy, you know, before the line. It was apparent. You can have all these people on the internet and change the way it looks and all that. No. You know, you watch the game live and you've seen it. He was stopped before the line. The ball never crossed the line. And, hey, that's in the past, though. But I'm just saying that's the 1 year I could say, look, Harbaugh and that staff, they were prepared. It just came down to a play. And, it is what it is. But the other years, it's not been the case. They've not been prepared properly. And when you're not prepared properly, you fail quickly. And that's exactly what's happened. But, Michigan State, waiting for Tyler to call. We'll get more on that part of it. I just wanted to add a lot about Michigan because I think that you have to understand the whole thing here. They've had great offensive play over the last few years. I'd say last year, not the year before, obviously. But they had great offensive play last year. They really did. And, it's one of those things that moving into this year it's imperative that they don't turn the football over Michigan. You can't turn the football over. And when you're running this spread stuff, that seems to be the worry, right? That seems to be the worry on this stuff. Turning the football over, it's too fast. Maybe they're not ready for it on the offensive line. I know they've been saying that the offensive line's cut some weight a little bit. But, you know, we'll see. We will see. I can just tell you this, that I truly believe that this season is going to come down to the Michigan-Michigan State game. I really do. I believe it in my heart. I think that whoever can win every game on that schedule in the Big Ten and split the Ohio State game and their game, meaning Michigan State-Michigan, if Michigan beats Michigan State, and they lose to Ohio State, and that's the only loss, I think they win the conference still. I truly do. I think Ohio State is going to lose more than one game. I truly do. And it could come down to those three also. I mean, and if you look at it, it could be one of those situations where, you know, Michigan beats Michigan State, loses to Ohio State loses to Michigan State, and then we got just a mess on our hands, right? It could turn into that. I don't see that happening. I think whoever has one loss is going to win it this year. Tyler's joining us. Tyler, what I'm talking about now is we're getting into a little bit of scenarios with the season. You know, I touched a lot on Michigan offensive play. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
So I got a question for you, and, you know, let's dive into it, man. I don't even want – let's not do this whole question crap. Like, I'm a reporter. I hate reporters. So, Tyler, I'm talking Michigan offense. Would you agree with me that I thought their offense was great last year? It's just it came down to one game against Ohio State where Ohio State had a better game plan and they kicked their ass.
Well, I think you're kind of barking up the right tree there. I think Michigan's offense, I mean, obviously – there were some games you would have liked to have seen more, specifically the Notre Dame game. I think they did about as expected the rest of the way. If you look at it, even then, they still dropped, what, almost 40 on OSU? That wasn't an offensive problem. That was a defensive scheme problem. I'm not saying Michigan had a terrible defense. They had a terrible defense for that game. Ohio State is obviously as elite as they come offensively, at least in the Big Ten. And it was a situation where Michigan, you know, they were a little bit stubborn on defense in regards to their strategy, and crossing patterns just picked apart the man-to-man.
Oh, yeah, and I think Ohio State was prepared for that game. I mentioned this earlier, Ty, before you got on. They were preparing for that last game like they always do because that's how they've been. And I think Michigan doesn't do that. I think they say this is our staple, and Jim Harbaugh is very stubborn and as far as how he – this is going to be the way I do it. It's going to work, and it's going to win a lot of games. We said it a lot last year. Because they're so physical and they're so athletic and talented – they could beat on the little guys a little bit, right, where they could beat up everybody else and you're not going to push Michigan around now. But when it gets to a game where Harbaugh has to make an adjustment or they have to do something different, they haven't been able to do it. They failed miserably on that. And that's where Mark D'Antonio and Urban Meyer are better college football coaches than Jim Harbaugh, where Jim Harbaugh still has that NFL mentality of, you know, this is what we're going to do and week in, week out, and we're going to win this way. And it don't work that way in college football. These are younger kids. You know, you need to make proper adjustments. Things can go wrong quicker in college football. That's just what it is. And I want to say this before we really get into Michigan State talk. I truly think it was the best decision he's made, finally giving the reins to someone else, where now he could just be a head coach. He can make the decisions that are like, game call, do we kick a field goal, do we go for it? That's all he needs to do. And that's the what great coaches do. They have great assistants. You know, they have assistants that can run the show, and that's where Michigan is doing a great job. But now you got to hand over the reins, certain calls he's going to be a part of, but I think it's about time, right? It's about time he finally made that decision.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately you see the same thing happening 45 minutes down the road too. I think it's just a situation where comparing the two more or less, D'Antonio has realized the game is evolving and he's made subtle changes, small changes here and there as time has progressed. I think that Harbaugh is doing a one lump sum type payment in regards to catching up. Offensively, whether or not he does things a little bit different defensively is going to be my big thing, because obviously Michigan's very talented defensively, but they're losing a lot defensively as well. Going back to that Ohio State game, like I said, Ohio State just picked them apart on the defensive side of things, and you're not as talented defensively as you were last year. So are you going to make the changes to not only overcompensate for your scheme that had its flaws last season, are you going to adjust to fit the talent that you have that is coming back? And I think that that's going to be the bigger thing, not necessarily on the offensive end, but I think it's going to be just as big, if not bigger, on defense.
I think the problem that I have with it, this is how I think about the whole grand scheme of Michigan football. I think they had, obviously, NFL players on that defense, so it makes things easier. I think sometimes as a coach you get better when you don't have those guys to depend on, where with Bush and Winovich and Gary, all right, we're going to run this and boom, just get by the guy, make a play, and bang, we're good. Now as a coach, you have to be stronger and better, and you got to have different type of schemes because, yeah, maybe you are lacking in some areas. They got a ton of talent. I mean, they're not going to fall off the face of the earth on defense. But, yeah, there's some spots where Winovich and Gary could make a play that other guys just can't make because they're NFL players. Or, you know, you David Long was a lockdown corner where Avery Thomas is going to be very, very talented, and maybe he's better in some areas, but he's not as solid yet. We don't know how good he's going to be. So their defense is going to be really, really good. I just don't know how great it will be. I think how great it will be is if Don Brown can change up a little bit. If he could change up a few things, and even if they struggle a little bit, they start getting these different type of zone coverages. Now you're more prepared against any style of play. And I think that's all they really need to do on defense. They got a ton of talent. I mean, they're ridiculously fast. Watching the spring game this year, I think they're faster this year. They're just not as strong. They're not as strong because that push up front with Winovich and Gary and, you know, you have Devin Bush just crashing in, who's a physical player. They're not as physical, but they're faster, actually. You know, Uche is incredibly quick. And he played a lot last year. I think he was better than Rashawn Gary last year. I truly do. And I think Michigan State, you've seen that, Todd, with Michigan State, where there's some times where you think certain guys could be better than what they have now. And even though they're not playing, they come in after, and what happens? Strength in numbers or next man up, they play great.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I think that that's the big thing. Defensively, if they can start making those adjustments. Offensively, you know, they've got the playmakers. You're still going to run the ball a lot. That's what you're built on. That's how you recruited, how you did. Having one of the more interesting things that I'm curious about is having Patterson in the spread system. Are you going to be able to run that system? And are you, I mean, obviously you're going to be able to run it with him because that's what he came from initially when he transferred. But are you going to be able to run that system with the offensive line and with the running backs and everything else? It's one of those adjustments that, well, like we've talked about and we're probably going to be talking about soon with Michigan State, I feel the personnel at Michigan State, they've got the ability to do that. I don't know necessarily if they have the ability to do that at Michigan because they are so much stronger on the offensive line. They're a lot more physical on the offensive line, and it's just one of those question marks. I think that obviously they've got the quarterback to do it. You've got some of the skill position players to do it. It's the offensive line. I'm curious to see how they fit into that system.
Oh, I think the answer to your question is 110% yes, they're ready to run that offense. I think the one question mark for that offense is, how will they be able to run the football out of it? Because, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at the running back position. True Wilson's been great, but, you know, I don't know if Charbonnet is going to be that outstanding right away. I mean, every time a freshman comes, we expect big things. It doesn't happen in college football. It's not like basketball. You really got to learn the physicality of football at that level. It takes time. So I think that's where they may struggle is running it. But just watching them a little bit and seeing what they have, and the type of talent, the answer, Tyler, is they're fully equipped to run that offense. It's just a matter of there's going to be a few mistakes there, and you got to get over those mistakes. It's faster. It's up-tempo. It's something that it's Rich Rodriguez-like, but more solid fundamentally up front. It's a lot more like it's very similar to Penn State with what they've ran with Barkley and McSorley, but that's my point with the running backs is they had Barkley, And that changes things when you have a runner who can do things like that. But as receivers-wise, Michigan's unbelievable at receiver. I mean, Tariq Black, if he stays healthy, is just a star. I mean, I've been saying this for a few years now, Tyler. I mean, he was the best receiver last year on the team, and then he gets hurt. In the spring game, he looked unbelievable again. He just has to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, good luck opposing teams, because now you have three receivers who all are good in space, who all can go deep, and all are very sure-handed. Not a lot of drops from those three guys. Nico Collins is very sure-handed. And then you have multiple tight ends. So they're very fully equipped. It's just a matter of, can they run the ball still? Because I think that's why they were so successful the last few years. They ran the ball so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that definitely helps. And it's one of those things that, again, it flips back over to the defense. Okay, Michigan ran the ball so well, so you got to take some time off the clock. You got to eat it up a little bit. You've got to help your defense in that aspect. So Michigan, not only are they losing the players, not only schematically can they change over there, are these younger guys who we haven't seen a lot of because of guys like Bush and Winovich, are these younger guys going to be able to catch their breath before the next series? Because if Michigan has a three and out situation, a couple of drops on screens and things like that, all of a sudden you got to go back in and you're fighting field position battles that are pretty difficult to win with younger guys. And so it all goes back to the defense for me. I know this kind of started with an offensive conversation, but the offense for U of M is going to impact this defense.
Yeah, no, that you're absolutely right. I think what you're going to see, Tyler, a lot this year, and Michigan fans are going to have to understand it, is you're going to see a lot of big play scores, but you're also going to see a lot of big play scores the other side. I think you're going to see other teams have bigger plays on Michigan. I think you'll also see a lot of three and outs, and it's going to be just a faster pace than what we're used to. The spring game means absolutely nothing in the success of your football team. You could look really, really good in spring football and suck in the season. I've seen that a lot. But one thing that I noticed is the way they played the game, and they were different because they put them in certain situations, and it was kind of awkward how they ran the scrimmage. But it's going to be really, really fast, and it's going to be hard for the defense, because I think that, yeah, you're on the field a lot more. And also, you're trying to play really, really fast. So what does that do, Tyler? That gives you an opportunity to make a bad decision or a bad mistake. Don Brown was really blitzing, and I think you're going to see it. He's one of those guys where, I'm going to be honest with you, Tyler, he's a great coach, but he shows his cards. I mean, here it is. It's the full house. Bang, we're coming after you. And I think they're going to get beat a little bit on that. And then it does come down to, can the offense outscore teams? I think you're going to find out that Michigan, it's going to come down to that Michigan State game and then obviously the Ohio State game. I think we had mentioned earlier, what did we say? There's three games there that you got to win two out of three for Michigan State. So it's Michigan, Ohio State, and who else was it? We had there was another team in there. And we just said you had to win. Do they play Penn State, right?
They obviously play Penn State. I don't necessarily know if that's going to go on that list this year.
Yeah.
Because I've got my own ideas about which way that Penn State program is headed. I think you may end up looking at the road game at Wisconsin. You could even look at Northwestern this year. I think Northwestern's been one of those monkeys that Mark D'Antonio needs to shake off his back after the last three seasons. And so I think that's going to fall in there.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're probably right. I think that's a good call. I think Northwestern, Michigan, Ohio State, you got to find a way to win two out of those three games. And I think that it could be fun for us because it could come down to that rivalry game, Michigan-Michigan State. So that would be exciting for us. But there's so much that could happen. Michigan State really struggled last year. They got so much talent, though. I mean, what were we saying last year, Tyler? We were like, we thought Michigan State right at the front end of the Big Ten Conference. And it's no different this year. It's no different. You know, they have a great chance to win the conference. They're loaded on defense. The front seven is ridiculous. The secondary is very solid. You know, like Josiah Scott, you know, we were talking about him being a star. Yeah, I mean, talking about him star. So, I mean, they're loaded. They have everything. It comes down to a couple things that they make adjustment-wise on offense, and they'll be great again. That defense is just so good for Michigan State, and it was so good at times last year. The offense just has to find a way to get back to what they, you know, what they know they can do. I'm going to be honest with you, Tyler. I don't think they need to change too much. I mean, I don't think they need to, oh, our offense is elementary. Well, yeah, we get that. But you don't have to be this spread team, you know, to win. I mean, they want to move the football on the ground. They want to out-physical you. They want to get some guys in space for big plays. You got to have big plays. Michigan State needs big plays. They didn't have it last year. But you don't want to get away fully than what you're good at.
Right, and ultimately, though, Michigan State's not really good at those things anymore. I mean, if we're being blunt, they don't have the running back talent or even the smarts. There's a lot of misreads, a lot of late reads on the running backs, blocking assignments, route running, things of that nature. So I think kicking Dave Warner back to quarterbacks, where, you know, he helped develop Kirk Cousins, and he obviously helped with Connor Cook as he was still handling some of those duties as he switched over to offensive coordinator. I think kicking Dave Warner back to quarterbacks is a good move. What D'Antonio ultimately did with the shift is put everybody back in a position where they've been successful before. The one difference is Brad Salem, the new offensive coordinator. And you look at the spring game, there are a lot of really good things that I like coming out of the spring game. Freshman running back Ant Williams just looked so shifty, and he looks like he's going to be a good fit for the new style offense. I think ultimately Michigan State's still going to want to run. They're going to use a little bit more zone blocking schemes, which I think helps an offensive line that, you know, they've had troubles being physical. I think a spread type offense helps Lewerke, obviously, and that's been the big thing that everybody's been talking about. It opens up his ability to run. I mean, you remember like the 62-yard quarterback sneak. Like, you don't see those very often. And then one thing that a lot of people aren't talking about, I think it's going to help the receivers. Obviously, Cody White is a stud receiver, and he's going to be very, very, very special. Very important this year, too, with the absence of Felton Davis now. But I think this plays into Daryl Stewart's hands better than people are giving it credit for. Daryl Stewart is the type of playmaker who he can go up and he can make those Felton Davis-type catches, but he's also really, really good in space, and he had a spectacular spring game. And you said it, Michigan State secondary, not anything to scoff at. It's not – I think the safeties are a little bit of a question mark. You know, we talked about Josiah Scott. I love Josh Butler. But David Dowell, he kind of regressed. He was preseason All-American, and he just completely fell off the map. I think his preseason All-American votes were helped by the fact that he forced 5 turnovers in 2 games, both of them monsoons against the previous year against Michigan and Penn State. Because I remember sitting in Spartan Stadium for about 8 hours during the Penn State game. With the rain delay. Xavier Henderson, though, he's one of those highly touted young guys that Michigan State had coming through the ranks. He's going to play the other safety spot. Daryl Stewart looked good against those guys. Daryl Stewart absolutely crushed in the spring game. I think it helps guys like Larice Nelson as well. It also helps Hayward. I think that maybe Ironhead, they said when he came in that he had the best hands on the team. When you run these spread type offenses, it helps those types of running backs. He's not exactly a scat back, but he does have more mobility for a bigger guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he's got the combination speed and the quickness. Not necessarily the speed, but he's got the strength and the quickness to like make up for the lack of straight on speed. And I think that this is really going to help those skill position players. It's going to help them get open a lot more, which is going to make the throws easier for Lewerke, who even before he got hurt, he didn't have the best arm, but he's got the ability to still throw it. And I mean, the mustard looked back in the spring game. So I think that this is all going to benefit Michigan State. I mean, obviously, you look at their defense as well. You got three potential first-team All-American type guys on your front seven, and Joe Bocci, Raekwon Williams, and Kenny Willekes. If Willekes returns to form after his broken leg, but I mean, this is the one thing that I like that we're doing that nobody else is. Last year, Michigan State was pretty much playing with their second-string offense. We're expecting the offense from 2 years ago, probably a little bit better with the changes to the offense and obviously the experience of some of these guys, plus that defense. And I think that, unlike Michigan, you know, you're not changing out a lot of key cogs in that defense, so you don't have to make a ton of adjustments there. What I like that we're doing is we're giving Michigan State the credit, the preseason credit anyways, to come out here and make a lot of noise in the Big Ten. And I honestly believe, and I've called Michigan my favorite like last year, I believe. I honestly believe this year Michigan State is the favorite to win the Big Ten.
No, I mean, I don't think you're wrong at all to put that out there. I think that they have every opportunity to do it. I mean, you have a very good nucleus of players. You have people that have experience. Here's the problem. What happens in this situation is confidence. That offense has to get confident again. When you lose a lot of football games and you're beaten up, and even when you're injured, you start getting deflated mentally. And last year they really hit rock bottom mentally where they just couldn't figure it out. He was shook, and I'm going to just put this out there. He's got to have a great year, and he has to put the ball where it needs to be. He's got to be great, and we've seen this a lot of times. Look how much better Michigan was with Jay Patterson at times. I know anybody can say what they want. Look, it came down to one game again, and they just got their butts kicked. They had great quarterback play at Michigan last year. They've got three guys that could start for him that could all probably do the same thing. Brian Lewerke has to play great. He's got to have big plays. He's got to make plays with his feet. They got to put him in positions to do it. And if that offense can just play good, they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to be very hard to beat because that defense is going to keep you in every single game. But it's going to come down to not making poor decisions on offense, not turning the football over. If they can do all those things and have a few big plays here and there, you're absolutely right. That's a team that can win the conference, win their division.
I'm going to make one modification to what you just said. Brian Lewerke does not have to play great. He just has to play good because Jake Hartmarger is returning too. You know, Michigan State has arguably the best punter in the country. I'm going to say hands down he's the best in the Big Ten right now. Michigan State was down to their fifth-string punter last year and had seven possessions in the second half against Ohio State start within their own six-yard line. And it was still a very close game until the end.
He's going to have to play great, though, Tyler. This is a different conference than it was.
A little bit to have Hartmarger flip it. And if you can get Hartmarger to flip it, there's not going to be many people scoring on that defense, especially when they have 70 yards to go.
Well, you're talking about college football, Tyler, in the 90s or early 2000s. In this day and age, you have to have great play from your quarterback because you're going to come into a team where, let's just say it's Michigan, the Michigan game, where Shea Patterson's just on fire. I mean, Michigan State's defense is great. They're like Michigan's last year, but Shea Patterson and Josh Gattis has the game plan, and guess what? They're just on fire. You can't stop it. And for some reason, you know, you don't know why you can't. You think your defense is good enough. Well, guess what that means? That means Brian Lewerke's got to come back and do the same thing. And that's where you are right now in college football. I mean, you look how good Clemson is. I'm not comparing our teams to Clemson. That would make us fools. But their quarterback play is unbelievable. And, you know, Alabama couldn't stop them. They just couldn't stop them. And in this day and age, you've got to have great quarterback play. They've got to be able to run when they want to. And they've got to be able to make the passes. And good's just not good enough anymore, Ty. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, I thought Wilton Spate played really good sometimes, but he never played great. You got to play great. And Connor Cook played great. You've got, if Connor Cook doesn't play great, Tyler, they don't beat Michigan. They don't beat other teams they had when he was there. They don't make the run they make. You got to have it. And Brian Lewerke played really, really good and great at times a few years ago, and they were pretty darn good. He's got to play great now so they can get over that next step.
Well, I think in regards to competing for the Big Ten, he's just got to play good. He can't have one.
Strongly disagree.
He's got to play good.
You know, this conference
he's
is better than that.
To compete for the conference. Just based upon Michigan State's defense, Michigan State's ability to flip the field, some of the receivers that they have on the outside that can make the plays like Cody White and Darryl Stewart, I think he's got to play good to compete for the conference. If he plays great, you might as well send Michigan State to the college football playoff.
Yeah, if he plays great, then, you know, and great to me would be a 20-touchdown season, 21 touchdowns, you know, 4 or 5 picks only. That's what Patterson was around last year. Patterson played great last year. Here's the problem. Guess who was greater? Haskins. Dwayne Haskins was that much better. And here's the problem with this conference. Everybody doesn't realize this. Justin Fields is a stud that plays for Ohio State. Nobody
right.
is talking enough about it because he didn't play at Georgia. He's a stud. He's a 5-star, and guess what? He's going to be probably a stud a lot this year. Now, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be Dwayne Haskins, but he's going to be really, really good. Martinez in
right.
Nebraska, look out for Nebraska. He's going to be great, and you have to have that now. And my concern for Michigan State is they're falling in the way back times of we can just be solid at quarterback, and because we're so good on defense, we're going to win. And it's not going to happen in the future either. I don't know what they have planned for the future at quarterback, but it better be really damn good because the next few years is going to be ridiculous.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's not good at all for the future. And I think that's why I'm kind of putting all my eggs in this Lewerke basket right now, if we're being honest.
Well, Lewerke could still be great. I mean, you don't know. I mean, I don't know what – I'm talking about recruiting. I mean, Michigan is absolutely hitting a home run as far as recruiting a quarterback. And I think they realize that finally after all this time, you got to have a great quarterback. I think Ohio State obviously always has had one, and Penn State kind of always had a couple good ones. And Nebraska is going to be very, very good, man. With Scott Frost, they're going to have an offense that's geared toward the quarterback, and they're going to get better, and they're going to be a team to look out for. But I really hope Michigan State starts seeing what's happening, and they don't forget, we better get the best quarterback we possibly can. You know, because we will not be able to compete.
Now, I know you don't follow Michigan State recruiting like I do. They pulled an offer from one quarterback, went all in on this other one who just committed to Louisville. And so right now,
yeah.
for the class of 2020, it's looking really thin. It's not a good look for Michigan State as far as that goes. They just had a monster recruiting weekend. They just got 3 or 4 guys. I think they could have got 6 if they could have landed Chuba Purdy. So
no.
it was a really, really bad situation for Michigan State this past week. I still think that, you know, they're getting the types of guys that they want. It's going to take – look, all of my confidence regarding Michigan State football this season is one thing. Into the future, it looks incredibly, incredibly sketchy in certain aspects because
yeah.
Antonio's not going to be around forever. You know, obviously, Lewerke's
yeah.
gone, Raekwon's gone, Kenny's gone, Bocci's gone. It's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding project in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think Michigan, on the contrary, is going to be absolutely unbelievable in the next few years. I think this year, I think they're going to struggle at times. I think they're still going to win a ton of games. I think they'll – I mean, 9 or 10 is realistic for me, and that's still really good. And Michigan fans will hate Harbaugh again, and I hope that Ward Manuel is as smart as everyone says and just says, look, this guy's going to be here forever, and he's recruiting his tail off. They're recruiting at an unbelievable rate right now, Michigan is. They got quarterback play coming in that's ridiculous. They've already got great quarterback play waiting to play. They've got receivers that are young coming in. They've got – they just got everything. They're recruiting at an Ohio State level at this point. And they just – people have to be patient. I know it sucks to say, but, you know, they got to be patient. It's going to take time. Now you got a new offensive coordinator. He's going to need a few years. So Michigan fans just got to sit back and wait, you know, and it's never fun to do that. But the next 4 years, you're going to see a huge change in college football in the Big Ten Conference. I'd say in 2 more years, Michigan should dominate. Should. But, again, it hasn't happened in a while. But they've got the recruiting at the level where they should dominate. This year, it's up in the air. Michigan State's great. Ohio State's always good. And we'll just see. We'll see what happens. Your prediction on Michigan State winning the Big Ten East? I don't think that's a bad prediction at all. And we'll see. So, Tyler, I'm, you know, back on it, man. I'm excited. Reverie Radio is rolling again. Our show's getting cut off here at 45 minutes. Again, Reverie Radio, where every reverie matters, but none more than one. Thanks, Ty, man. I will be talking soon. I can't wait for the season, man.
Let's get it going.